Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Ahoy there! Welcome to Time Ghost. You can probably tell from my forced jollity that, once again, Martin isn't here this week. So it's just me, Craig Children, presenting you with a rather well-picked-over box of cultural chocolates. Hopefully you don't end up with the orange cream. But a word of explanation, basically, for anyone who's still interested. Basically, Martin's had a problem with the gates, the new gates that he's having made to go at the end of his drive. To begin with, the gates, I can't remember what order it was, something wrong with the hinges, I think, to begin with, and then the gates, I think, were too small, then they were too big. Anyway, there was an even more severe problem last week. Because I don't know, you know, but one of Martin's balls dropped. It was just horrendous. Apparently, you know, I'm talking about the two stone balls on the top of the pillar either side of the gates. Anyway, apparently it turns out that the ball wasn't perfectly spherical, and as a result, the weight distribution was slightly uneven on the top there. Anyway, it caused metal fatigue in the sort of metal spike, you know, the support that holds the ball in place. Anyway, that spike completely rusted through. The ball rolled off, landed, luckily, I think, in a pile of wet leaves and twigs. Otherwise, probably would have split in two. And the repair job, which Martin was supervising last week, would have been even more involved. The ball is now apparently has been reshaped by an emergency start. I begin to wonder whether Martin's stringing me along with all this. Anyway, but... ball's apparently been reshaped by an emergency stonemason and is ready to go on top of the pillar. But now that they've got the ball down and they've really had a good look at it, they're beginning to wonder if that pillar is entirely straight. In fact, there's a whole second school of thought. I think a school of thought that Yarrick's nephew, the blacksmith, is particularly keen on, which says that it's actually nothing to do with the iron spoke, you know, if you like, the spike that holds the ball in place. It's nothing to do with that. It's actually to do with the foundations of the pillar themselves. So this could be... Anyway, it could be a bigger job. So Martin, you know, he can't take a risk. You know, if that other ball drops as well, you know, all hell's going to break loose. So he's got to quickly... try and find out if there's a problem with the foundation of the pillar. Anyway, while Martin gets that fixed, I thought I would play you an episode from the Time Ghost archive. This one, a bit of a personal favourite of mine. Without further ado, here you go.
Well, I'd like to start by saying hello, good morning, or good evening. There, I've fallen into the trap right away there. You could be listening at any time of day. We've established that. It's a podcast. Well, it's Martin Bain-Jones here. Normally, I'd leave a pause there for Craig Children to put in his sultry greeting, but he happens not to have turned up this morning, so I thought I might just see how the plane handled solo. I would imagine this is an experience much like going to see the Pet Shop Boys and perhaps just the one in the hat turning up. Or maybe, as quite often happens, tuning in to watch Richard and Judy and finding that Judy's hurt her knee or something and can't be there. Yes, we've heard that one a few times, Judy. But anyway, here I am. Wow, it's comfortable in many ways, just because I know where I am, and I'm not prone to interruption or stories about a cat, which is good. I've also got a roster of ideas that I'm quite looking forward to shooting through with Craig. If he doesn't turn up, I imagine maybe Mylene Klass or someone like that will probably appear as a stand-in. But that'd be quite nice, that, actually, Mylene Klass. Of course, what one has to remember about Mylene Klass is that she doesn't always wear that white bikini. I think that was just one afternoon in Australia on I'm a Celebrity, but certainly I think that's how most of us picture her. Well, Craig, good morning. He arrives. I thought for a moment I was saying that maybe it was maybe Mylene Klass might be standing in, but it's not. It's Craig.
Oh, Martin, I'm so sorry. I've just had an awful morning, absolutely awful morning. My head was.
Are they not working?
They're not working. Oh, that's the last straw.
That's just.
I'm going to string myself up.
Dear, what? Oh, you poor thing, Craig.
It's I lost Gugu last night.
Really? What? You mean you've lost her?
Yeah.
You mean
I couldn't have physically lost her. I mean, she couldn't have gone out. You know, she couldn't have moved anywhere, could she? No, I mean, she died.
Oh, Craig, I'm sorry, but I have to temper that by saying, I think that's a great relief for all of us. I mean, for you.
What?
I think.
How can you say that? It's such a bolt from the blue. It's completely unexpected.
Craig, I don't know what to say. I mean, I think it's too early for me to try and rationalise what must be for you a very, very trying period. Was it quick?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. You know, I usually inject her with insulin about sort of 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's been very difficult recently because there just hasn't been a vein. I haven't been able to find a vein. So the vet rigged up a sort of a special apparatus where basically he found a remaining vein in deep in her stomach that he managed to... she had an operation and, you know, managed to have it to insert a permanent catheter into that, which I could inject the insulin into. Anyway, my alarm went at 4 o'clock as usual. I went into Gugu's bedroom, and there on the bed, she was just some fur. She just sort of dissolved. She dissolved in her own.
And how did you know she was dead?
She dissolved in her own bodily fluids. They've become so toxic. They actually dissolved her body.
Well, she was just there was just literally just fur,
just fur, left.
And a catheter,
and a catheter. Well, and you know, an artificial hip and some nail scissors that she swallowed when she was about two, obviously her replacement elbow joint and her plastic leg and her drip, you know, the saline drip, and
must be devastated. But
it's absolutely devastated.
Is that your telephone there going beep 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 beep?
Probably.
Or is it mine?
Maybe it's my mother. Might be yours, Martin.
No, it's not mine. It might. I can't.
I'm gonna turn it off anyway. This solemn time.
Well, Craig. Well,
anyway.
I think in time, I think you might find that it is a release for you. You know, Gugu giving up that struggle, and it was a struggle.
She was such a little fighter, that cat. She had such spirit.
She was more than a fighter, Craig. She was a warrior.
She was an absolute little trooper.
She was a crusader.
She never let it get her down, you know. She was never, ever morbid or maudlin or piano. She always took everything on the front 2 feet.
She only had one front
in the end. But, you know, she always took it, you know, she was always taking life on the front of that foot.
Yes. The front bit had been removed after the cancer, but she was always,
you know, she was always landing on the front bit of the back bit of her foot.
Yes. I went to a screening last night. It was the 30th anniversary screening of the 39 Steps.
Gosh, how lovely.
The 1978 one, not, of course, the Hitchcock one, which I think was
the one starring Robert Powell, I presume.
It's exactly that one. Yes, I saw Robert was there, in fact.
Did they use the Hitchcock ending in the 1978 film? The ending where the 39 steps are the steps of a chemical process which he's memorised.
No, they don't.
They are actually steps as they are in the book.
It's clever. The steps in the book, of course, are the steps down to the sea.
Yes, that's right. I think it's quite clever in the book because you assume the 39 steps take on all sorts of other meanings. What could they mean? Could they be the... And they turn out literally to be
steps.
Some steps.
Yes, it could be some sort of precursor of the recovery programme, of course.
The 39 steps. That would be a gruelling recovery process.
Yes, three 13s, of course.
And most people give up after about 4 or 5.
That's right, yes. I'm on the 39th step.
I'm on the 39th step. I can now drink battery acid and, fly single-handedly across the Atlantic.
Yes, very good. It's a tremendously shit film, but utterly enjoyable. I mean, in many, many ways, it's quite clunky. It's, it's quite ham-fisted. It was made in the 70s, after all, but it's utterly enjoyable. It's a great film.
I mean, John Buchan himself, of course, the author of The 39 Steps, claimed he had written A Penny Dreadful. Indeed, I believe the book was written when he was confined to his bed.
I think that's right. Yes, he wrote it in 1914, I believe.
That's correct.
He did it. That's right. Yes, just
and
before.
He wrote it for a friend. He said, "Here it is as a gift. You like those rather rubbishy novels that you buy on newspaper stands? Here, I've written one for you.
Have it." And he was sitting in his confinement in his bath chair.
Yeah.
He'd taken a cottage on the south coast, and his daughter was coming up from the beach, and she came up to him and she said, "Daddy, there are 39 steps from here down to the beach, 3 sets of 13. And he thought to himself, that's just the crux I need for this book. And he decided there and then to call the book The 39 Steps. Did you know that?
I didn't. It's one of the most uninteresting anecdotes I've ever heard. sort of startling in its lack of revelation.
It's one of those stories. It's a bit like those stories where someone tells you a story and then says, that man was Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
I once had a driver who was fascinated by grisly murders. Every book he read was something to do with either gangsters of the old East End or the most grisly murders or the Whitechapel murders. And I thought, gosh, I think that's an unhealthy infatuation.
Yeah. So he would regale you with tales of who he'd had in the back of his car, presumably.
He would. And I think he had a fascination with the whole world of gangsters and the sort of the glamorous, the glamour-tinged.
Can you remember any of his stories that he told
you? No, but they would quite often end with sentences like this. And that was a little man called Francis Addison Sinatra. And then he'd pause a bit and then say, Frank Sinatra.
Right.
I'm not sure that his middle name was Addison. I've embellished that. But do you know what I mean? Every story would go, and that was a little man called Philip Calypso Collins.
You're right, actually, because if you didn't withhold the famous name to the end of the anecdote,
yes,
a bit extremely dull thing to say. It'd be like Frank Sinatra went on holiday once.
It was usually something
the other way around. If you do it the other way around and you say, I knew a man, decided to take a short break in Tuscany, got the catalogues, they arrived at his house, he skimmed through them, made some initial selections, showed them to his wife. They consulted over dinner that evening.
Yes.
They settled upon
it's got to be a big
Sardinia.
Star. Yes. Yeah. Come on.
That's
Frank, that was a man.
No, it's Frank Sinatra.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah. But that was.
But I see what you mean. But if you hold it back,
but usually
you've got some powder dry for
that.
That's
the end. Right. Yes. Yeah. That's what they do. And then there were the florist, and that was a little man called. And you're thinking, who is going to be the man in the anecdote? A little man called Rossuel Simon Akempis.
Anything? I still don't know.
To you as Ross Kemp.
Oh!
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Yes. Oh, that was a little town called Las Vegas. You go, oh my God, I'd no idea. You were talking about it like it was a little Hamlet.
And that was a little chemical process known as nuclear fission. Oh my God, the sun! Oh my God! He's talking about the sun!
I'll tell you what, actually, interestingly, you put on I'm noticing a Liverpudlian accent, and that's the other one. Either it's people who have an unhealthy appetite for grisly murders, or it's people from Liverpool.
But people from Liverpool just love a yarn, don't they?
Well, they do, but nearly every yarn they say ends with, and that was a little man called
Ringo Starr. Oh, now, Ringo Starr.
Martin, let me dive in. I've teed that up for you.
You've
in many
teed
ways.
That up for me beautifully. Unwittingly, but beautifully. Did you see on the internet? This is absolutely
brilliant.
That's right,
the other week.
If you put in, Ringo Starr, take you to his website, he makes a little announcement.
That's absolutely brilliant.
That's
brilliant.
Ringo Starr makes this announcement. He says, please, everybody watching my podcast, hello, peace, love, 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 peace, peace, love, love, love. And he makes that sign. You
know? That's, yes.
He says, please, I appreciate so much all the nice things you say about me. Peace, love, love, love. Thank you so much for sending
stuff.
But from October the 22nd, the 22nd of October, I will not be replying to any fan mail. All the addresses you've got, get rid of them, because anything that arrives, I will not be signed after the 22nd of October. It's going to get tossed. Peace and love. Love and peace. Peace out. I love you. I love you. I love you. Off. He doesn't say that bit in the end. I mean, it's almost the definition of passive aggression. Going, peace and love, love and peace, as if you're telling somebody to off.
Yes, so, I think that's
peace
right.
Peace and love, love and peace, 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 love, love, just cough.
Yes, I think he...
but it's great. I mean, listeners...
Let's just go into
listeners,
that.
Do check it out.
He said he had no time with all the peace and love. How does peace and love take that long? I mean, this is just one department where he's cutting down. I mean, maybe there are all sorts of other ones. Maybe he's left a message in the bathroom. From now on, I shan't be abluting or crapping. From now on, I'm just going to shit in my...
After October the 22nd, I'm just doing them right here in me kangols. I'm not leaving the house. I'm not going to the bathroom. I'm not going to the little room. I'm just doing it all. I'm filling these bad boys right wherever I'm standing. Peace and love. Love and peace. He's rushed off his feet. Poor bloke. You know, I'm sure he's cutting down in all sorts of departments.
Oh, that's right. Yes, it's scaling back.
He's got to. I mean, obviously under such time pressure.
Well, he's run ragged. He's run ragged by peace and love. You know, and that was a little man called Ringo Starr. Well, it's been a couple of years of massive celebrity divorces. You know, obviously, we've only just dusted down the aftershock of Mills McCartney.
Yes. What a terrible business that was.
And now, of course, we can rub our hands and salivate at the prospect of the Richie Madonna split, which has now, of course, been confirmed just the other week. So that's another cavalcade we've got to look forward to. And a nice little job for Fiona Shackleton, because I think she was probably feeling a little bit redundant.
Plucky little Fiona Shackleton.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, she of the
makeover.
Helmet-plated hair.
Well, no longer. Since she came out in the, I think she got a bit of a soaking from Heather Mills.
That's
McCartney.
Right. She did. Yes.
Or McCartney Mills.
Yes. Whatever. Yes. She got a soaking and then she funny, came isn't out.
Her name is actually Heather Mills McCartney.
That's like, right.
Heather puts McCartney through the mill.
Well, like Pepper, that's right. Yeah. Heather Mills
McCartney.
It'd
be called Heather Screws McCartney. You know, hello, my name's Heather Does Over McCartney. Hello, how are you doing? Really nice to meet you.
That's a very good point, actually. Heather Mills Heather McCartney. Mills I wonder if anyone McCartney. Else thought of that.
Heather Fleeces, Heather Fleeces McCartney. How'd you do?
Very good.
See, well, Fiona Shackleton was famously, had a glass of water thrown over her at the final judgment call.
Oh, that's right. Of, she kept her cool.
Mills McCartney versus McCartney.
That's right.
And, destroyed the helmet bob of Fiona Shackleton, who received nothing but plaudits in the press.
Well, that's right. She came out, yes. She kept her cool. Steely. I mean, I think she knew she was on about £3 million a minute, so I think I'd...
There was an upside.
Yeah, well, there was an upside. I think I'd keep my cool if somebody, dislodged my helmet-plated bob.
Yeah, I take it, if I was Fiona Shackleton, I'd take it just as a sign that I was doing quite a good job, actually.
I think that's right, yeah.
And
I imagine Mr. McCartney, at the very least, will have maybe he's written a song for her. That would be a priceless gem.
Yeah.
To be immortalised in song by Paul McCartney. The Shackleton Chorus. Shackleton, Shackleton. I don't know. I can see it now, a little cartoon. Get it out in time for Christmas. It's a lovely song.
Yeah.
Shackleton, Shackleton, Doodleton. Yeah. Not much rhymes with Shackleton, does it, though?
Shackleton. Yeah. What rhymes with Shackleton?
You'd have to do some sort of enjambement. To get in there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Appleton.
Appleton.
That's not very interesting. All Saints haven't done anything for years.
Yeah. Well, He'd think of something. He's an extremely resourceful man. Let's not worry about McCartney.
Right, yes, in this ever-changing world in which we live in.
Yeah.
That's right. He'd be able to come up with something.
Yeah, he'd be able to give it a try.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, the point being, what...
Well, I don't know. I was just lobbing it up gently in case case there was a point, really. I mean, it's...
Do you think they'll have a horrific public divorce?
Well, I don't know. I can't help thinking there's a sort of... There was a link that the more public and massive the wedding, do you remember the hoo-ha at Skibo Castle with the security? They practically... Scotland was basically... All of Scotland was up with barriers around it and...
Yes.
Nobody could go anywhere near Scotland. Even sort of, they sent out the fleet, sort of keep boats away for a sort of 20-mile radius or out at sea. And, this great hoo-ha. And had divorce written all over it then, didn't it?
Yeah, they might have just got divorced right there and then.
They should have done.
It's sad, though, isn't it? I mean, I don't know why it's sad, because I don't know... Madonna,
I did hear a story, though. I heard a story, though, from when Guy Ritchie was still riding high.
Yes.
This, you'll remember, was between October and December 1996. that was Guy Ritchie's time in the sun.
Excuse me.
No, you're excused.
Oh, sorry.
He was at some event, and Adam Buxton, do you know Adam? Adam Buxton from Adam and Joe.
Yes, yes, I do. Yeah, I know exactly who you mean.
Splendid little.
Did you say little?
I didn't mean that. I really didn't mean to say that at all.
Is he?
He's not little.
Well, he's taller than me.
Yes, he's tall.
Why do you think I'm little?
He's tall. He's a very handsome man, Adam Buxton.
Do you think I'm little? Do you say, oh, lovely little Craig?
I don't know why I said little. I think we'll edit that bit out, actually. But I'm really embarrassed by that. I can't bear that I said that.
We don't edit anything out of these podcasts, Martin.
We're going to have to. Adam Buxton... Had been
Lucky
at
little
school.
Adam Buxton.
He'd been at prep school, I think, with Guy Ritchie, and they'd sat next to each other in maths or something. One of those calming, obviously it must have been maths. He obviously had no idea of the alphabet if he was sitting someone beginning with R next to someone beginning with B, or it was a very small class. Anyway, Buxton and Ritchie were next door to each other, and he was at this party when glamorous Guy Ritchie, riding high. He thought, well, I'll just run up and say hello to him. I haven't seen him since we were little.
Congratulate him on his good fortune.
Yeah. Yes, well done. You're riding high. He said, Adam Buxton, I used to sit next to you in maths. And Guy Ritchie looked at him and said, no, He said, no, we were at school together. He said, no, no, I went to lots of schools. Sorry, he said, oh, I went to lots of schools. And Adam said, yeah, but no, we sat next to each other in maths. He said, yeah, it's, yeah, look. And he said this, I don't do that. I don't do that shit anymore. That's what he said.
What's that?
He said,
what
I don't
shit?
Do that.
Well, remembering. Society?
No, remembering is clearly the shit he didn't do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, I don't do that shit anymore. And I've,
maybe
I'm
perhaps he meant maths. Perhaps it was a scourge on his life. Perhaps he'd gone really too far with maths. He got into calculus.
Well, yeah.
And then he got into differential equations. He just couldn't stop himself. He started to get into matrices and basically became a bit of a problem for him. He said, I've got to put this shit down. I've got to get into some kind of recovery programme. You know, maybe Madonna helped him through it. And she said, Guy, put the pen down. Put the pen down. You know, you're doing long division. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. And Guy said, I
can't help it, girl. I can't help it, girl. Once I start, I can't stop. Once I basically get onto the irrational numbers, I'm screwed. I just can't put the shit down.
He said, baby, come to bed. Come to bed.
I can't. I'm just trying to solve this trigonometric equation. Look, see the parallel axes there. Look, I mean, if I could just get a handle on this angle here, that'll tell me I'm on the opposite side. You know, and then, honestly, just one more equation, love.
And I said, you've got a problem. You've got a problem. You've got to understand. You're hooked. You're hooked on maths, Guy. Guy, come on.
That must be what he meant.
That's what he said. I don't do that shit anymore.
Yeah.
I don't go near that maths shit.
Fiona Shackleton should take note of that, and maybe that's his Achilles heel when she's
working.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. When she pulls out all the sums, how they're going to split up the estate. Apparently they're jointly worth £300 million.
Yes.
That's £299,999,000 to Madonna and about 750 quid to Guy,
yeah.
And the rest sort of just goods and chattels, a pair of cufflinks.
I mean, it's awful, isn't it? If you get divorced in England, as they've had an English marriage, I think our divorce law is now reaching some sort of sensible conclusion, isn't it?
That you you're
only entitled to half of what was earned
after you
during the marriage.
Yes, that's right.
Right,
the life of
not,
the marriage,
not to the lot, you know, because that was. That was the case with Mills and with Scrooge McCartney and McCartney, or Suckstry McCartney and McCartney versus
yes.
McCartney.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's what happened in the end. The judge said, yeah, he is worth, you know, quite a bit, but you weren't a major contributing factor in that, funnily enough.
She's saying she is now.
Mainly because you weren't even born.
She was the fifth Beatle, though, apparently.
In what sense?
Well, she was there. She was in Hamburg. She was, yeah.
Was she
was right. She was, but she was the power behind the throne. Yeah,
right.
That's right. Yes, yes.
Well, someone had to be responsible for all that.
That's right. Yeah,
that success.
That was her.
Well, Guy can at least spend his evenings calculating what he might. He can't do that.
He can't do that. He doesn't do that shit anymore.
He can't do that shit anymore.
No, as Buxton discovered.
Yeah, put that calculator down, Guy.
Yeah, well, maybe he might...
Fiona do it for you.
He might spiral back into maths. Well, that's the bell is ringing.
Is that
if
the
I can go back
already?
To maths, the lesson is over.
Oh.
Yeah, it's break now.
It's break.
Yes, we got...
Go outside and run around in the fresh air.
That's right. Or nip down to the bike shed and have a crafty fag.
Oh, can we do that?
Well, maybe. Well, I mean, I don't, obviously. Don't do that shit anymore.
No, I wouldn't go anywhere near that shit.
Yeah, but anyway, yes, what we're saying is
yeah.
Oh, now then. What? Little surprise for you.
What's this?
Craig, we popped out during the recording and we got you a new cat. It's a kitten, Craig.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, God.
It's, well, not from the pet shop. It's actually, I mean, the advantage of recording next to the canal is, well, anyway, I won't go into that, but there we are. Little.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's... I mean, I say thank you. It's a little bit distasteful, guys. You know,
what?
Just like, well, it's like
what?
When Jonathan
the sheets
Ross...
aren't warm.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when Jonathan
so
Ross...
So sheets haven't cooled down.
Did that to Ricky Gervais on that.
What, you get what he did? Give him a cat.
I think Ricky's cat had died, didn't he? Give him a cat. Anyway. Well, it's lovely. It's a very sweet little... Oh, dear, it's just been sick. Actually, his eyes are rolling around the back of his head. Should that be happening? It's gone limp.
Don't...
It's gone limp in my hands. Oh, yeah. Has anyone got any water?
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So are those that
one of its teeth? Stop breathing. It was breathing very, very faintly.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, I've just broken its paw. Seems it must have got some sort of brittle bones. OK, well, let's just say cheerio and...
Yes, you
I better
take...
get this cat...
Well, we better come up with a name.
Has anyone got the number of a vet? So, well, see you next week.
All right, yes, well, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. There you are. Oh, here's its leg.
Time Ghost was written and created by Alexander Armstrong and Ben Miller. This episode was originally released by The Times in 2008, and it was produced by John Davenport and edited by Ed Ryland. Time Ghost is a Hat Trick podcast.